think I can do it tonight. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, let's turn to the book of Acts and let's Acts chapter 7 is the one, verse 54 down through 60. And what I'm going to look at tonight, I'm thinking about, I was over there sitting and while y'all were singing and Sister Betty, when she sung this song, Victory in Jesus, I know of a man that here in the New Testament that I believe that if it's anybody in the Bible they can honestly say that they had victory, that's this individual, and his name is Paul. I mean, I don't know, I just love Paul's writing and everything. If you notice me, a whole lot of times I'll go back to Paul and I'll mention things about Paul. But you know, up until the time Paul gave his life to the Lord, over in chapter 9, we can see in chapter 8 where it was some certain things that Paul done. But we see over here in first. In chapter 7, in verse 54, and it's talking about the first martyr mentioned of Paul. This is the first time that anybody had mentioned anything about Paul and the martyr that they wanted to do to Paul. Because I think some of them knew that Paul was about ready to surrender, because I think to today we can go back and we can look at our own life and everything. And when you get to that point, you know that something is going on that we don't understand. And we will start thinking about different things. We'll start thinking about the hereafter, and we'll start thinking about especially when we go to bed at night, when we lay down at night, and we start thinking about where we're going to spend the rest of our life. And I believe that is the Lord, and I believe that's the Lord preparing us to come to Him. But I think Paul had got to this point. I do. But it says right here in verse 54, it says, "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him, with our teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus the standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes as a young man's feet, at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stood and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to thy charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, right here, which is not, he's not called Paul, but we've seen way up there where he was called Saul. Now, the word Saul means that, as I look at it and think about it, and that is thinking about him on his own self and what he could get out of people. And what Saul could get out of people is what, mainly what he was doing. But we know also that he did not keep that name much longer. But right here we see where the mention of an individual right here being stoned, being martyred, for the cause of Christ. And that individual's name was Stephens. And they stoned Stephens, calling upon him, God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's the same thing that the Lord had prayed. When the Lord said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he finally ended up saying, says, now I surrender myself unto you. I surrender my all unto you. I surrender my spirit unto thee. And we see the word here in the first verses that we read was the word stand. Standing and stand. And see right here, it says Jesus standing on the right hand of God. See, he was standing on the right hand of God. And you know, that was when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose from the grave and when he went back to heaven. See, he didn't go to the upper room right then. He went back to heaven. And as he went back to heaven, he was about ready to sit down, and the Father told him, says, Son, it's not time for you to sit down now. It's not time for you to rest. You got some people down there that have been following you, and they was looking to you for things, and they was looking for you for their faith, but they're murmuring. They don't know what to do. And when the Father told the Son that, the Son knew right then that he had to come back. That he had to come back to earth. Now, a whole lot of people, you don't hear that much anymore about where he's went to heaven, but he hasn't sat down, and the Father saying, Son, now you need to go back. Now, he come back, and he come back for 40 days. He come back and he allowed himself to be seen by people. We need to allow people to see the Lord Jesus in our life. How can we do that? When we go out and when we sit down at a table and when we, right before we eat, we say the Lord's Prayer over the food, because it is thankful. We should be thankful for the individual that prepared the food for us to eat. And that we should ask the Lord to give us strength to keep on going. And that food will bring nourishment to our body to where we can have the strength to keep on going. But we have people today that they're so embarrassed about what the Lord has done for them, they won't even say grace over the food. They're so embarrassed. They don't want people to see them as, well, just like Peter. So many times that Peter, he walked with the Lord. But then Peter, what did he do after he left the Lord? And he went on his way, and the Lord went his way. Then Peter, he would get with some of the other people there in the area that would have high status and have high privileges and everything. And they would say, I seen you a little while ago. It looked like it was the Lord that you was walking with. It looked like the man that they say his name is Jesus, the Messiah. Paul said, and Peter said, no, it won't me. It won't me. It won't me. It was somebody else. Maybe it was somebody that looked like me. But how many people does the same thing today? We have multitudes of thousands of people say the same thing today. They are so embarrassed and they're ashamed of the Lord that they don't want to recognize who He is. And I believe that individual that is like that, and this is me, I'm sorry and I'm just old fashioned or whatever, I just believe that they ain't a bona fide Christian. I believe they're a bona fide hypocrite. People today, you know, and people can say the same thing about Peter. We know that the Lord chose Peter to do some mighty works. But see, the Lord knew Peter's heart. The Lord knew what Peter was on the inside. That's what He knows about us. What people and the way people see us is what they see on the outside. They can't see our heart. They can't see how we can go about doing what God has asked us to do. And how much we love them. But Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. Standing there. Not only the Lord Jesus was standing there, Saul was also standing there. He was standing there with Stephen, and he was standing there with the other individuals. And what did he say? He said in verse 58, and cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet. Who was this individual? Saul. Soon became Paul. But we see over here, not only that, we see right here, it says in verse 60, it says, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to thy charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." The Lord Jesus Christ said the same thing at Calvary. He said, "Lord," the Lord said to said, "Lord," said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's the same thing, basically the same thing what Stephen is saying. "Lord, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them." That's what it means when he says, "Lay not this sin to thy charge." Don't allow them to take up the sin that they've committed to where they will go about doing some of the ungodly things that they know is out here to do. Now, why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he was still standing at the Father's right hand. He was still standing right there with the Father, and the Father plainly told the Lord, said, "Lord," says, I want you to go back, and I want you to stand there with them. I want you to lead God and direct their life." And not only that, we see over here in chapter 9, right here, the story where it started out with Saul. And it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against these disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes was open, he saw no man, but they led him by his hands and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am the Lord. We've seen where Saul He went into his position that day, into work, and he gathered up the papers from the high priest of that day. And the priest had given him the papers for his weekly journey. That when he went out that week, he had his orders to do, and he could not report back until every one of the orders was filled. Now we know as he journeyed, we know as he came and as he journeyed to Damascus, he looked up and he seen where that he had to make a detour. And that detour that he was on the road which is called Damascus. The Damascus Road. And as he was on that Damascus Road there, Saul, he says, I see something I don't recognize before. Something from heaven, something is coming down, something is shining down so brightly. I've never seen such a bright light before. But it come down with such a force, with such power behind that light, that it knocked him off his feet. It knocked him off his feet. And he landed to the ground. I believe it's just as soon as that light came from heaven and Paul looked up, or Saul looked up, and when he saw that light like he'd never seen before, that instant I believe he gave his heart to the Lord. I don't believe we have to walk all the steps to the altar. I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ allows the Holy Spirit to touch an individual's heart that's in church and hearing the words of God, and I believe as soon as they step out by faith, and as soon as they make that first step towards this altar, that they're saved. That's the only reason they can make it the rest of the way. I believe that. Some people, they may not believe it. I do. Because how can they go from a long distance in a church to the front of the church? How can they? I don't believe they can. Not on their own. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to drag them to the altar. Oh, yes, I mean, sometimes I just want to reach out and just go out there and get them and just say, come on, you got to go. Come on, you're going to the altar tonight. But when you do that, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, you might get them up here. And they may repeat the prayer that you're saying, but was it sincere? Was it sincere? No, I don't think so. Why? Because it wasn't sincere because they did not step out by faith. And that's what we have to do. We have to step out by faith. We have to step out by faith in the journey that He has put our feet on. And yes, he's allowed each one of us to be able to take and plant our feet on a journey. See, we're just pilgrims passing through this way. We don't have a place to where we can, as a Christian, can really call home. I can go back to where I live at, yeah. But down deep in my heart, that's not my home. Down deep in my heart and down deep in my soul, my home is settled there in heaven. And it's not no many rooms, and it's not no one room. It's a mansion within a mansion. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is in the supreme mansion there. But yet He's allowing some of the contractors of old to have something to do with the building of our mansion. What did he say? What did they call Jesus? What did they call Him? They call Him the carpenter. Why was the carpenter? Because He was the builder. The builder and maker. He's the one that builds our faith up. He is the one that controls our destiny. But it says in verse 5, it says, "And He said, Who art thou, Lord?" Now, I do not think Saul would have said that. I really do. I don't think Saul would have said that. Because I don't think Saul would have had enough of of God to say that. And He said, "Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord?" That was when the Lord Jesus came down and He showed Himself unto Paul. Now, if that was the case, then why was it that Paul waited? Why didn't he wait a little longer before he recognized who the Lord was? When the Lord looked down from heaven, when He was standing right there beside His Father, and when His Father said, "Lord, I need you to go back. I need you to go to earth right now. There's a man down there that I need for you to go see. There's a man down there that has a backbone. And he's not one of these that has the backbone to where if somebody starts ridiculing him or anything, that he's going to give up the fight. No, he's going to hang in there. But I believe Almighty God sent that Shekinah glory where they speak about back over there in the book of Leviticus and Exodus, talking in the tabernacle, when the priest went into the Holy of Holies. When the priest went into the Holy of Holies, now if the priest was okay, didn't have no sin on him, then the Shekinah glory, the glory of heaven, came down and manifested Himself there. The Shekinah glory. And that Shekinah glory was so bright. And it was so bright here that I believe that Paul knew what it was all about. Paul knew what it was all about. We knew what it was about too. We knew that something had taken a place in our bosom. We know that something took a place within our life that we could not understand and we could not comprehend at the time. Why? Because we didn't know anything about the virgin birth. We didn't know anything about salvation. We didn't know anything about the Word of God. We didn't know anything about church. We didn't know anything about how we need to go and serve God. We didn't know anything about prayer. We didn't know anything about being faithful. We didn't know anything at all about God. We didn't know anything about the ways of God. But God taught us. He taught us through other individuals. And I thank God that I had other individuals out here that just didn't say, well, Donnie, oh, I know him. Life he lived, I give him 15 days and he'll be just like he was. I reckon so. Yeah. You're right. If everybody had that mentality and on me and the way and what I need to do and everything, if they had that type of mentality on me, yes, in 15 days I'd have been right back out in the world. I wouldn't even darken the doors in church. But I thank the Lord I had some individuals there in the church that would just stop in at work. And they'd just say, I thought I'd come by here and see how you're doing. Says, just hanging out. Then they'd start talking to me and then I'd start asking questions. And I don't know why, but we don't want to ask questions when it comes to the Bible or our faith. We don't want to ask questions. And I think the reason for it is, hey, God saved me. My name is written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. If God wants me to know that, God will reveal it to me. I'll tell you what he will do. God will put a desire in your heart. You'll do anything and everything that you want to do to learn a little more. After I was saved, I got in the Bible and I read and I studied it. And then especially after God called me to preach, I had a pastor, he says, if I can help you anywhere at all, let me know. He says, if you think that he's calling you to preach and if you need to go, if you need any schooling, let me know. The church will stand behind you. How many churches today that you hear about that stand by from the North Carolina line down through the South? Hey, the churches that are there are different from the churches that they are in Virginia. I don't know why it is, but they are. They are different. I'm not different from they are than them. Than they are. I'm still saved by grace. Through faith. It won't any kind of works that I've done. Because if it was any kind of works that I had to do to get saved, I'd still be lost today. Because I could not work enough for it. In verse 6 it says, and he trembled and astonished, saying, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Do you hear that anymore? Do you hear that anymore where the people in the church or people that will come and visit and end up joining the church, they'll come up to you or come up to the pastor and say, well, Pastor, is there anything at all I can do? Anything? No. Why? Because it takes commitment. They don't want to be committed to anything today. It takes commitment. And I'm so thankful that we still have people that is committed to the Lord. That they're still faithful. You know, with you that are here, and with Sister Nancy, and maybe a few of the others, if they was here, if they just got really involved. And I know that Sister Nancy does all she can do. But the job that she's on, Sister Julia, she don't have to worry about that no more than I am. Which I didn't pray for that. I didn't pray for her to lose her job. But, you know, I'm praying that, you know, the Lord open up another job for her. And He will. And I'm praying for the same thing for Sister Nancy also. But even that, with the people that we have, I'd rather have no more than the people that we have. Keep on serving God. Keep on loving God. Keep on loving God's people. Keep on loving the sinner. Then go out here and invite people. And then you have people come in. And when they come in, they don't want to make no commitment, no kind of commitment at all. They're the kind of people you have to watch out for. You have to watch out for them. Because they are the ones that are hiding behind the old oak tree. They don't want to be recognized. And you know, I still say that we need to recognize people that wants to do something for God. Brother Gene and Sister Alba. I've been knowing him for 25, I don't know, maybe 30 years, I don't know. A long time now. But she was telling me one day that Brother Gene was having a hard time. With the churches. Because he says, until they come down here that first time, until he sung down here, that was the first time he sung in about 2 months. He said, people just don't. He says, you have churches out here today that. They done got so hardcore and everything that they won't allow them to, they won't allow people to come in and, you know, and use a talent. Hey, if he's saved and everything, they come up here saying, but as far as holding the office, no. They needed your one. Brother Gene knows that. I don't have to tell him about that. He knows it. But I want you to pray for both of them. Because she approached me Wednesday night. And Brother Gene was, I don't know, somewhere. I think he was still inside and he's talking to Brother Bill or somebody. But she approached me and says, you know, I see it was getting a little dark now, getting darker earlier now. I said, yeah. She said, it ain't gonna be but a few more Sundays that I'm not gonna be able to come. I'm not, Wednesday night, I'm not gonna be able to be here. If Gene has to work, and sometimes, majority of the times he works on Wednesday, and he works to 6:30. And she says that her eyes bothers her. She has glaucoma. And she says she just don't think that she can drive that far. And I told her, I said, well, I said, if you want to come to church, I said, if you want to come out there and him, give me a call. We'll get somebody. If I have to call you a taxi, we'll get somebody to pick you up. And then I told her, I said, well, I said, you know, it's on the way. I mean, she probably don't live within a mile of where we turn off of 29 on the 58. I said, we'll come by there and pick you up. I don't mind going by and picking people up. I don't mind that at all. They want to come to church, I'll go pick them up. I tell you what, last month, see, I'm always a day late and a dollar short. Always have been. But I know of a church in here in the city of Danville. It was in the city too. That they had two vans. And they'd been running both vans for a while. And then the church fell off. And they decided they was going to get rid of one of the vans. Well, neither one of the vans, they didn't have over 30,000 miles on. And I didn't know it. This day is even thinking about it. Getting rid of it, anything. But I'll tell you how I am. I'm always a day late and a dollar short. They come up and they donated that van to another church. They didn't have no van. I would have loved being able to approach them the week before and are you thinking about, you know, getting rid of, if you are, let me know and see what you want the price for it or something like that. But they didn't want no money for it. They said, Says, you can't give me enough money for it. That's what an individual told me, that they found out about it too, and they went to the preacher of the church. And they said, well, have you got rid of it yet? He says, no, but the individual's supposed to be coming picking it up this Friday.
He said, well, I don't know what he'd give you for it, but I'll double what he'd give you for it. Because we could use a van. Well, he said, you wouldn't have to give me but a dollar. Because I didn't even charge them a dollar. And he said, on top of that, he told it, the other individual was talking to him. He says, you know, you can give me all the money the church has got. But he said, forget about it. Because God's going to bless me more. Because I give it to a church that needs it. And you know, I've known missionaries where churches have given them vans and they get to the point they can't even get them back over there because it's going to cost them so much to have them shipped overseas. I mean, God's people has it tough in doing God's work. It's not no easy road. The way we look at things. But see, we're not supposed to look at it that way. We're supposed to be like Paul said, Lord, what must I do? What must I do? What do you want me to do? And if we have that type of mentality, then the Lord will say, just don't worry about it. You go ahead and do it. Because he's going to bless you. And he will. He will bless us for it. I mean, I'm going to say this and close the Lord have mercy. I didn't know it was that late. But how many of you can honestly say yourself that Daniel, that you have not experienced the blessings of God? That you have experienced God's blessings and you don't see how he done it. But people out here in the world, they think, well, they got a nice church down there. They ain't got but maybe 10, 15 people, something like that, ain't it? Says, you know, I don't see how to do it. I don't see how they do it. I don't see how they keep your doors open. I don't see how they can continue on. And I've shared this with many people. And many preachers, I says, I can tell exactly how it does. Because we do it God's way. We support missionary. We're a missionary-minded church. We have some preachers out here saying we have. I'm supposed to be the first missionary. I don't look at it that way. A missionary is an individual that's on a foreign field somewhere and left the comfort of the home. I ain't left the comfort of my home. And if I did, if I went to another church and started passing another church in another state, like Midwest or something like that, I still would be living in a place that I could not say that I may not have to leave the comfort of my home. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, we just ask now that you would just be with these people, Father, this week. that Father would help each one of us bring us closer together in unity and one accord. And Father, we are the people that we come in contact with this week, Father. That they can see Christ in our lives. And yes, they will say to themselves, I want to know this man. Because of the joy and the happiness that I've seen within them. Father, if they can have this, the joy and the happiness that they have, I want just a little portion of it. Father, go with us. Father, be back with us again this coming Wednesday evening. I want to thank you. I want to love you more today.